let's get started. Okay, so today we're going to do the Sugya of Bishul B'chama. I don't want to really spend more than a day on it. The plan going forward is to do Bishul B'chama today, and then on Wednesday and Thursday to work on Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, Iri Kli Rishon, all of that stuff, and then hopefully Be'ez Hashem next week to get into Bishul D'Rabbanan. So this will be hopefully this week. That's the goal, at least, to try to finish up Bishul D'Oraisa this week. So let's start with this. The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. I put in the Maror Makomos. The Gemara tells us Amar of Nachman Bechamad Kuli Amul Pligi D'Shari. The Mishnah on the Chesam Beis puts a Machlokas Tanaim about cooking on something that on some sort of cloth that was heated by the sun. So the Gemara says, Bechama de kuliam lo pligi de shari. When you're cooking Bechama with the actual sun, everyone holds that that's going to be mutter. Even though something's going from being raw to being cooked, but the method of doing it is through the sun, that's going to be mutter. Heter gomer, not even in the Rabbanan. Betoldos ha'ar kuliam lo pligi de asir. If you're using that which, betoldos ha'or kuliam lo pligi de asir. If you're using that which was heated by fire, everyone agrees that's going to be asir. There's no machlokas. The whole machlokas in the Mishnah is only when you're using something that was heated by the sun. The question is, do you make a nisid rabbanan? Atu told us or sounds like told us or is doraisa, or do you not make a nisid rabbanan? Atu told us or it's all about whether we make such a gzeira rabbanan. So that is the Gemara. Now, so what would be a told us hachama? You take a frying pan and you put it in the boiling hot sun until it heats up, and then you crack an egg on it, and somehow it manages to cook the egg because you live in Arizona or something. So it's able to get to that hot that you're able to. Cook it after it's heated by the sun. Shulchan Aruch over here in Sif Gimel Paskins, cooking food in something that was heated by the sun is asur midrabanan, lest you come to mix it up with something that was heated by fire, right? Like the shita of the Tanakhama in the Mishnah against Rabbi Yossi, that we hold that told us chama is asur, but told us chama is only asur midrabanan. So you have three levels. You have chama itself is heter gamur, told us chama is asur midrabanan, cooking with fire, told us a fire is an isur da'oraisa. Now, what is it about told us chama that makes it about chama rather that makes it heter gomer? After all, you're cooking the egg is just as fried, is just as delicious as an egg that was heated by fire, as if it was on a frying pan on the stovetop. So Rashi on the spot writes, "De'ein darach bishul abekach." The reason it's mutter is it's not darach bishul. And v'chama b'or l'michlefa d'ligzra ha'atua. We don't even have to make an gzera midrabanan because no one would ever confuse the two. No one's going to look at someone cooking in the sun and say, oh, that's just like cooking on my stove in the kitchen. No one would ever make such a mistake. But it's just ain't darach bishul b'kach. And since it's shalom k'darach, that makes it heter gomur. So the Rav Moshe in Chel Gimel Simen Nun Beis writes that whatever is considered the normal way to cook is included in the Yisra Daraisa of Bishul. And Ein Darach Bishul B'kach, the fact that people don't cook that way, means that it's not included in the Yisra Daraisa. Meaning, Rav Moshe discusses the possibility that, you know, maybe Ein Darach Bishul B'kach means that it just doesn't do a good job of Bishul, that it doesn't produce the same type of Bishul. That it's an inefficient way of Bishul. He says, but that can't be the case. He has a riot that can't be the case. That Ein Derech Bishul B'kach doesn't mean that it's a subpar standard of Bishul, that it's a subpar level of Bishul. And his riot is because the Gemara is a machlokas about Mevashel B'chamei Teveria. If you cook with Chamei Teveria, so Chamei Teveria are these naturally hot springs. So is that Toldos HaCham or is that Toldos HaOr? Is that something that's going to be considered Asur Midaraisa or not? So the Gemara says, oh, one sheet holds it. It's told us or because how does it get heated? By the Eish Shel Gehenim. So there's actually fire that cooks it up. It's the Eish Shel Gehenim, that it's machzer by the Eish Shel Gehenim, and that's where it gets cooked up, that's where it gets heated. So Mela, it's going to be told to Sa'or. And the other sheet says, no, it's not told to Sa'or, there's no Eish Shel Gehenim that's heating it up. So, but wait a second, are they arguing about how much of an effect or how effective the Bishul is in Chamei Tveria. They're agreeing in the Metzius. The Chamei Tveria could cook a certain way, whether it cooks well or not so well, whatever it is, it's apparently, however well it cooks, that's enough to be considered a Bishul Midaraisa. So the whole question is, but Metzius wise, you know, what's it heated by? Is it heated by or is it not heated by or? The whole concept of, you know, being heated by the Eish Shel Gehenim is a difficult concept, you know, as if it's a physical place that's heating up water. I don't know what it means. I remember when I was in high school in MTA, there used to be a Rebbe that used to yell at us not to go to Florida for winter vacation, and he told us that the reason it's hot in Florida is because it's closer to Gehenim. So that's possible, but maybe he knew where the Chamei Tveria got heated from. I don't think that's the scientific explanation, though, of why it's hotter in South Florida. But anyway, so that's where Moshe's right, that it can't be that it's about the quality of the bishul, because if we're about the quality of the bishul, there's no room to argue about Chamei Tveria. The room to argue about Chamei Tveria should have been about the quality of the bishul. It shouldn't have been about, oh, how is the Chamei Tveria heated? Yeah. Because the Gemara says explicitly that it's not the machlokes.
It says that it's a question whether we're gazrina
or not by Chamei Tveria. By Chamei Tveria, the Gemara says machlokes whether it's heated by the Eish Shel Gehenim. So it sounds like it's all about the Metzius. Was it heated by fire or not? So that's the. So Rav Moshe says, so what is it then? What determines whether something is derech bishul or not derech bishul? Would a normal person cook like that, given the option? Given the option of cooking in a different way, would you choose this way? So since a normal person would not cook in the chama if they have eitzim to be able to make a normal fire, a normal person wouldn't choose the chama to cook in, even though it may do just as good a job of cooking as cooking in the with a fire, but normal people don't do that. It's not the normal way to cook. That's how Rav Moshe understands ein derech bishul b'kach. And based on that, says Rav Moshe, v'im kein, Bahamiker Vave Oven, love it. I love when he does that. Shetov Levashalbo, Kimo Be'esh Mamish, a Miker Vave Oven, which is as good to cook in as a fire itself. Ve'elu She'esh Lem Tanur Kaseh. He wrote the Tshuva, I think, in 1974. And those who have such a thing, who have such a, you know, this futuristic Jetsons kind of way of cooking, they cook more in the microwave oven than they do with fire. And the reason why you don't have a microwave oven in every single kitchen, or two in every kitchen, or, you know, milk inflation parvo or whatever, you know, in every kitchen, the reason they don't have that is just because they haven't mass produced them yet. And once these things become mass produced, everyone's going to use them. So we also tell, because it's better than an oven. Rav Moshe says, Bishul Daraisa. Microwave, oven, Bishul Daraisa. Why? Because it's Derek Bishul B'Kach. What determines what makes it Derek Bishul B'Kach? What makes it Derek Bishul is that normal people would choose to cook with the microwave and use that over an oven. Now, Rav Moshe had never had a microwave. You know, he didn't live in a time where it was so. I remember as a child when we first got a microwave. I know that sounds a little crazy. I'm not that old, but I remember, when we moved from Brooklyn to the Five Towns, so we needed all the Spritzy Five Towns things. So one of the Spritzy Five Towns things that we got was a microwave oven, and it was like, you know, my brother was like spending all night baking potatoes in there, like, look at this, another 5 minutes and a potato, and like, we're like, we don't even like potatoes. It didn't matter, but he was so that's the Rav Moshe says that's Derech Bishul. Now, one could argue that even if Lahalacha is correct, his Metzius is not correct. Meaning, I shouldn't say Lahalacha. Even if his Lamdus is correct, his Halacha is not correct, because the disconnect is in the Metzius. I mean, Rav Moshe's lumdus is anything that a normal person would use as a normal way of cooking is bishul daraisa. Things that people don't typically use to cook, and if they prefer another form of cooking, would not be the secondary thing that they would cook with only when the better form of cooking is unavailable to them, would not be bishul daraisa. One could argue that a microwave typically is used for warming up food. It's sometimes used to cook, primarily not. Primarily used to warm up food. And usually, if you have time, you'd much, much rather cook on a stove or in an oven than using a microwave. Microwave is simply a convenience as far as time is concerned, but as far as quality of the bishul, it's not quite the same, and therefore people typically choose not to cook in a microwave. One can make that argument. I understand there's a counter argument as well, because there are certain things that cook well in a microwave, but one could say that even using Rav Moshe's lundus, even if you understand Ein Derech Bishul, the way Rav Moshe understands Ein Derech Bishul, it doesn't necessarily lead you to Rav Moshe's conclusion as far as how a microwave would be used. Rav Moshe never saw how a microwave was used. He never saw the mass produced. He didn't know how people would ultimately use a microwave.
How would a Rav determine now? This Jew is very tolerant on, you know, what's going on.
On that Metzius, yeah. You've got to figure out how you interpret the Metzius. Now, it happens to be, and I'll let you use a microwave on Shabbos anyway. In terms of Hakala Kal Tchila,
other options.
Right, things like that. So Suvi is definitely a Derech Bishul, I would think, because it's a higher standard of Bishul. I mean, it's like it really breaks down the food in a way that makes it softer.
But that's qualitatively. I'm saying in terms of.
I'm
it
saying
based
so people choose to do it. They
it
don't. Rav Moshe seems to be saying that it's the kind of thing that you would use when regular cooking is not available. That would be a Derech Bishul. I think that's what he means.
Is there any significance in the fact that the way microwaves work is that they're targeting the water?
So Moshe thinks it's totally irrelevant how it works, right? Meaning, Pashut reading of the Gemara, you would think it's all about how it works, right? Moshe thinks it's totally irrelevant how it works. What's relevant is this the way people do things? So, it's targeting water, and that's what those molecules heat up everything else around it or whatever. But Moshe thinks it's irrelevant, I think. No? Do you understand Moshe differently?
It would make it a told, I think he says in the beginning, that if it's not water, I'm sorry, if it's not using ish and it's using some other process, then...
Right, that would be a told, which would still be daraisa. Right, that's what Moshe says. Yeah, meaning it would still be, and therefore irrelevant, because it would still be daraisa. In Shmir Shabbos, Rosh Shlomo Zalman disagrees with about the microwave. Rosh Shlomo Zalman in Shmir Shabbos is quoted, Be'in Bishul B'mikrogal, Ein shut min chashlom echel gavsim yivbeisiv katan beis. So I guess you should look at that. Min chashlom echel gavsim yivbeisiv katan beis. B'dibar maskel gamnir lani yastai to you ba'ara 3 al nachshu kiyo tibo. D'kivan d'zerem ha'chashmal eino eish min mei lahav le katol d'schama. Sham vashad ba'pat mechadas. Meaning Rav Shlomo Zalman is not looking at is it normal to cook that way? Is it not normal to cook that way? He's looking at, is it eish? If there's no eish involved, then it's chama. Meaning that which is not eish is chama. So there's no heat that's being applied to cook. There's microwaves that are being applied to cook. So it's considered to be ein derech bishul, just like chama. So only cooking with fire is considered derech bishul. Anything that's not fire is not derech bishul. So cooking in a microwave is considered to be a toldos chama, which would be aser, but only aser mitrabanan, right? Not an iser daraisa. So according to Rosham Zalman, if you're cooking for a cholish, yish basakana, better to use a microwave than to use a fire. You use a fire, you're doing the bishul daraisa. You use a microwave, you're only doing bishul drabanan. According to Rav Moshe, it doesn't really make a difference whether you use a fire or a microwave.
So would an alchemy between the two of them be like an electric stove?
No. Here's why. Because an electric stove, I think, has a din of eish, meaning a red hot coil, which is what an electric stove has. An induction stove maybe is different. If you live in no. Okay, I'm not sure what it is either. But the molecule it's basically what the induction stove top is. If you turn it on, you put your hand on it flat, you don't feel anything. It's cool to the touch. But you put a pan on it, as long as it's made out of the right material, the right kind of metal, you put a pan on it and all of a sudden it heats up. Because the molecules interact in such a way where they start bouncing off each other and creating heat and something like that. I don't know. So it heats up. If Rabbi Tendler, the Kron of the Vrach, would hear me describing it like that, you know, that would have killed him. You know, that would have killed him. but anyway, so but it's so
not,
that
if the electric stove is not real, the chalon, then why should Rosh Shlomo Zalman say it's the raisa?
If the electric stove, no, because it is eish. It's eish. Meaning we assume red hot. The red hot coils are eish. Eish mamish. Let's say bar moreish. Yeah.
It sounds like enough of your emotion or Shlomo would be nowadays chamit veria, because. Like we know, like coming through, it's like the magma, or whatever. And that's probably ish. It's not the sun. So if you're saying the sun is only an example of a heat source that's not like fire, then Rav Moshe would say it's fine still.
But if it's actually ish.
It's actually ish. Then Rav Shlomo would still say it's still good.
Rav Shlomo would say, yeah, so you have, yeah, you probably have a lot of examples of things that are not normal to cook in, but are actually heated by Eish in some way or another. Now, this comes up in Basra B'Chalav also, because Bishul is not only a Sugi and Shabbos, it's a Sugi and Basra B'Chalav also. So, you know, the Torah tells us, Lo Shavashal Gediba Chalavimo three times, with the Gemara in Masech Sanhedrin Darshins, that Derech Bishul as for Torah, that only if it's Derech Bishul. So that's where we get this notion of Darko B'Kach, that it's only Bishul if it's a Derech Bishul. So Rabbi Kiv Eger in Yoredeya, in Simen Pei Zayin, there's a good chazar for guys who were in the shir last year, Rabbi Kiv Eger in Simen Pei Zayin in Yoredeya writes that Sli, let's say you roast Basar B'Chalav. What do you mean? You roast basar b'chalav. You have a hamburger on the grill, and you slap a piece of cheese on top of the hamburger on the grill. Sli, that's not bishul. That's sli. So says Rabbi Kiv Eger, that's also derech bishul. Irui tzonin l'tocham, also derech bishul. All of that would be included in the yisur d'oraisa of bishul basar b'chalav. Any form of bishul, that's asur on Shabbos. That's because Shabbos Rashi is telling us also derech bishul. Any form of bishul, that's also Shabbos. That's derech bishul for Shabbos is also considered derech bishul as for Torah that you have by basar b'chalav. This is what we discussed last year. You have this funny possibility that it could be that pouring hot milk from a kli rishon down a fleshig drain can be problematic. Meaning, let's say you only have one sink in your kitchen. It used to be that Jews managed with only one sink in their kitchen. I took the guys from Kaylee to Rav Reuven Feinstein a few summers ago. So the maisa that Rav Reuven told them was that he was trying to make a point, and his point was very important. He said that his daughter was in school once in Beis Yaakov, and the Mora said that any person who has only, you're with us, any person who has only one sink in their kitchen, I would never eat in their house. So Rav Reuven's daughter raised her hand and said, you wouldn't eat in my Zaydi Moshe's house? You wouldn't eat like a Moshe Feinstein lived in a tenement in the Lower East Side. What do you think? He had two sinks in his kitchen? He's like living lavishly when all of his neighbors are, you know, obviously he had only one sink. Rav Reuven Feinstein's point was that there is, if you're a Talmud Chacham, you can manage with almost anything. If you're an Amaretz, there's nothing that's Amaretz proof. There's no system that's Amaretz proof. Meaning, you could have 18 sinks in your kitchen, but the shiksa that's working in the kitchen, or whatever the, is that not politically correct? The housekeeper that's working in the kitchen is going to take the hot milk and pour it down in the fleshig sink, and boom, everything is treif. Right, there's nothing that's Am Haaretz proof. So you have to know something in the end of the day. So there is this possibility, though. Let's say you're heating up milk for somebody, and I don't know what context it would be. Warm milk, they say, is good for stomach ache. I don't know, whatever it's good for. So you're heating up milk, and then I took the whole milk. The person only wants skim milk, so I'm going to take this hot milk that I just heated up in a kli rishon, pour it down a fleshig drain. Now, what was the last thing that went down that fleshig drain? I washed off my plates from dinner the night before. There are little particles of meat. And there's a bunch of particles of meat stuck right there in the drain. I can't see it all. It's right there down the drain. So I'm going to pour this hot milk down the drain, irikli rishon, of hot milk, and it's going to be mevashel, whatever's in the drain. So the reason why this is probably not such a problem is, first of all, whatever's in the drain was already mevushel, say in bishul achar bishul, so it wouldn't be just like you have in bishul achar bishul by Shabbos. It could be that by basar b'chalav is also a level of in bishul achar bishul. And plus, we mentioned last year, I think it was going a little far afield, we'll bring it back in a second, the Kesev Mishnah writes in Hilchos Tumas Meis that the iser of cooking milk and meat together is a siyag d'oraisa. It's a siyag, lest you come to eat milk and meat together. The Torah says three times, Lo Shavashal Gediba Chalev Imo, the Gemara Darshan's Echad Isser, Bishal Echad Isser, Achil Echad Isser, Ana'ah. So, but why is it that the Torah asked cooking milk and meat together? It's only a siyag d'oraisa, it's a gedder that the Torah itself made, lest you come to eat them together. So one could argue, if that's true, that it's a siyag d'oraisa, if it's down a drain where it's totally inaccessible, then it's no, there would be no siyag d'oraisa. That's a shvera argument to make, because the gedder of the yisur doesn't change based on the tam of the Yisr, plus the whole chiddush of the Kesef Mishnah is a humongous chiddush to suggest that the only reason it's also to be mivashal basmichal is lest you come to eat them together. Meaning there is this concept of siyag d'oraisa. Rav Yosef Engel has a whole essay in Lekach Tov where he discusses the notion, the idea, the possibility that the Torah asks certain things just to protect from doing other things. He gives like 12 examples or something. I don't remember how many examples, maybe 18, something like that. Some number of examples of a siyag d'oraisa, where the Torah asks for something, and it's an d'oraisa, but it's only there to protect against another d'oraisa. Most famously? Yichud is a good one. Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzeh, right? He says is a siyag d'oraisa, lest you come to achilas chametz. All these things are dim d'oraisa. He suggests even kisvei adam is a siyag d'oraisa of achilas dam, which is a little shver, because kisei adam is only by dam chaya and dam of. What about dam behema? We're not worried about chiluz dam behema. But he has a risha that says like that. I think he has a Rashbam and Chumash or something that says like that. So you have different possibilities of this siyag d'oraisa. But okay, let's bring it back to us though. So we have, in terms of defining derech bishul, so Rosh Shlomo Zalman didn't tell us much other than that a microwave is not derech bishul, presumably because anything that's not eish is not derech bishul. Rav Moshe, so Rav Shlomo Zalman's hagdara seems to be, we got to look at it carefully, is that eish is derech bishul when it's got no connection to fire, it's not derech bishul. Rav Moshe's hagdara, totally different, nothing to do with fire, nothing to. Fire is a classic example of what a person would choose to cook with, but it's not. That's not the definition of derech bishul. Derech bishul means what normal people would use to cook. Comes along the Egle Tal, and the Egle Tal says, "I don't understand. Ain derech bishul, and that's why it's going to be mutter to cook in the sun. Is ain, what does ain derech mean? Ain derech sounds like it means you do it with a shinui. So when you do a melacha with a shinui, you know, you turn on the light, you realize you forgot to turn the light on, you need the light for Shabbos, so you turn it on with your elbow. Yeah, that's what you do? You turn it on with your elbow? No, I hope not, right? That's not what you do. Why don't you do that? It's a shinui. Ein derech havara bekach, or binyan, or whatever melacha you think you do, right? You might be doing when you turn on a light. Why not say ein derech? Because when something is done with the shinui, it's a derabanan. It's still in this derabanan. It doesn't become mutter. How could it be that ein derech bishul bekach is a matir? That means that mamish mutter to cook, and that there's la halacha that it's mutter to cook b'chama. How could that be? And he says, first, shinoi is usually only it makes something awesome in Rabbanan. Furthermore, he says the Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Aleph tells us that chame tveria is not considered a mavushal, but l'chara it's just that you weren't chayiv, but you were still mavashalit, meaning you did it in an unusual way. But when you're talking about a carbon Pesach. So the carbon is not mavushal because it was cooked in Chamei Tveria? You're going to say that's not called a cooked carbon Pesach? Okay, you did it with a shinui. You did it in a weird way. So you didn't do the act of bishul. But as far as the chefza, as far as the carbon Pesach is not cooked? You're going to tell me that's a roasted carbon Pesach when it was cooked? Or it's not, how do you say such a thing? So what he suggests, and furthermore, he points out that we're not going to go through every detail of what he says, but furthermore he points out that in Ibn Ezer the poskim assume that if a person is kosev get bismol, let's say a person writes a get with his left hand, so the halach is v'kasev la sefer krisus, the Torah says that you have to do maiseksiva for a get. So what happens if you write a get with your left hand? So in Ibn Ezer the poskim say it's kosher. I ain't derech ksiva b'kach. If you kosev b'smol on Shabbos, what's the halacha? So it's pater. Pater avalaser, but it's pater. Right? Why? Because it's with the shinui. So the poskim say, yeah, because by Shabbos you have dinah melachas machshavas. So by Shabbos you have dinah melachas machshavas, so that's why. But if you kosev the get b'smol, the get is going to be perfectly kosher. Problem is, why does that make any sense? The din of shinui applies in Kol HaTorah Kula. We always have the din of shinui in Kol HaTorah Kula. You have a din of shinui shelo kederech achila, shelo kederech hana'a, right? The sugis and psachim. You have shinui all over the place. Going into a bayis hamenuga backwards. So it's not derech b'yasa b'kach. You're walking it backwards and you're the chotem, your nose is still outside of the house, so therefore it's not considered that you walked into the bayis hamenuga, right? It's gezein derech b'yasa b'kach. Because you did it with the shinoi, you did it in an unusual way. Shinoi is everywhere. How could you say that writing b'smol is something that's only going to matter in Hilchos Shabbos because Melachos Machshavos? It should matter everywhere. Shinoi is a concept in Kol HaTorah Kula. So it comes along the Eglei Tal and he suggests that there's tzvei dinim in shinoi. There are two separate dinim when it comes to shinoi. There's a shinoi b'maisa and a shinoi b'na'ase. He writes, Yesh chilek benim yesh shinoi b'hana'ase o shinoi b'ha'ose, not maisa, b'ha'ose. He doesn't use the terms gavra and chetza, and it could be that he just didn't like those terms, or it could be that it's not an accurate depiction of what he's actually trying to describe. But those are the terms he used. Shinoi b'hana'ase or shinoi b'ha'ose. Meaning, there's a difference between a malacha that you do with a shinoi where the outcome of the malacha is going to be the same as if it was done without a shinoi. When you turn on the lights with your elbow instead of with your finger, the light is still on the same way it would have been if you turned on the light in the normal way. Whether you did with a clapper or with a motion sensor or whatever, however you turn on the light, it's still on the same way. As opposed to a shinoi, where the outcome of the malacha is going to be an inferior outcome of the malacha. So when you carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashiach, it says the Eglei Tal, the object doesn't change depending on whether you're carrying it with your armpit or you're carrying it with your hand. The object is the same, and it went from this location to that location. The way you did it was with the shinoi, but the result of that shinoi was, there was no different result from that shinoi. So you carry with the shinoi, that's going to be Asur Midrabanan, because the outcome of the malacha is the same. But when you cook directly in the sunlight, which is considered like cooking with a shinoi, the outcome of the food produced is different than if it was cooked in the regular way in the stove. It doesn't get cooked exactly the same way. So cooking in the sun is going to be mutter, even midrabanan, because the outcome is going to be different. But cooking in a pan that was heated by the sun will be also midrabanan unless you mix it up with something that's heated by fire. So according to the Eglei Tal, Eina Derech Bishul means that the outcome of the food is different than if it would have been cooked in the normal manner. That the food would taste different. It would be different than regular, the result would be different than regular cooking. And that's why there's no Isser Drabanan at all. Not even Isser Drabanan. If you do a Melech HaShabbos B'Shinoi, it's Asser Midrabanan. But if you do a Melech HaShabbos B'Shinoi where there's a Shinoi in the Na'aseh, there's a shinoi in the outcome, then it's not even an Issur Drabanan. It's such a humongous shinoi that it's not even an Issur Drabanan. And that's why the Korban Pesach is not called Mevushal, because it's a shinoi b'hanasa when it's cooked, apparently, v'chamei tveria. And that's why, he discusses atzitz as well. The question that I had in the Eglei Tal that bothered me about the Eglei Tal was the following. If an altered taste makes it not bishul, and Toldos Chama doesn't have an altered taste, right? Meaning, if Toldos Chama, how does Toldos Chama work? I take a frying pan. If you take a hot frying pan and you crack an egg on it and you fry an egg, does it matter whether the frying pan was heated by a fire or was heated by boiling hot sun? Is the egg going to taste it? L'chor, the egg will taste exactly the same. So why is it that the Gemara says, oh, you know why Toldos Chama is Aser? Because of Gzeir Mishum Toldos Or. Forget about Gzeir Mishum Toldos Or. That's already, there's no shinoi in the Na'aseh. Meaning, why does the Gemara have to come out to the Gzeir Mishum Toldos Or? There's no shinoi in the Na'aseh. So if there's no shinoi in the Na'aseh, mail it's Aser Midrabanan. Why do you need to go and bring from there when you have it right in front of you, just as far as the basic gather of Bishul? Josh.
First of all, the Ran uses the same lashon of the indirect bishul to kach on the sugyon.
Yeah, Rav Moshe quotes the Ran.
And right, and so, but the Ran, the one that Rav Moshe quotes, is talking about a maisa bishul, of whether or not it's al gavya ish mamish or it's the side or it's in the kedera. That's about what the maisa bishul is, not about what the kotzah. Meaning, lechora.
Unless you argue that all of those things.
That's even bigger. Not only the chama, but also al gabe kederas. Also, meaning that's exactly where his question is by chame tveria, that or by a told of the chama that if you're cooking al gabe kedera, that's I mean, it's exactly the same for itself. So it's strange to say from there on, that's what But can it be that what the Igli Tal is saying is that it's not Maisa versus Totsa, it's that there are two, there, when it comes to Bishul, there are two dinim in the Maisa. There's the Maisa of the person, and then there's the Nasa, there's the mechanism by which the person is doing his Maisa. So the mechanism by which he's doing the Maisa when it comes to Bishul Bahama is the Chama, right? And that's in the Shun. So the finish of the Igli Tal is that you have an additional consideration when it comes to Bishul more than any other Malacha that would allow...
I'm not sure I understand the Chilek between the mechanism and the Maisa. I mean, the Maisa is how I contort my body to do, and...
Yeah. Meaning that's the regular type of Shinoi by every other Malacha. By every other Malacha...
Right, left hand, elbow, something like
right.
that. Right. And the Nasa is... what if there is no mechanism? What if it's just direct?
Because, no, that, meaning by Bishul, the finish of Bishul is that it has to be Agave Aish, right? That there has to, because that's the way that it was done in the Mishnah.
Right.
There's a way that I can do exactly how I usually cook, but it has to be Agave Aish. That's Ein Derech Bishul Bekar. Right? So
what do you mean it's Ein Derech Bishul Bekar?
Meaning when it's not Agave Aish.
Well, it's not enough,
right?
Okay.
Because the mechanism by which I'm cooking, it can be all exactly the same actions. I can flip an egg in exactly the right the same way, but because the mechanism isn't the same, isn't that what Nasa means? And that meaning that's the difference between this type of shino and every other type of shino.
So you're saying it has nothing to do with the resulting
The result is that, to say that the result is different is a huge tradition. Also it's very hard to read in there Mishul Bekach as talking about the Totsah.
I mean, that wouldn't bother me so much. What bothers me is that it just doesn't read straight. It doesn't make sense. Right, okay.
So I think it's a logical possibility, but there was a line in the Igli Tal where he wasn't saying it, because he said, Yesh b'pas koach, whatever. It was in the Chavta. He wasn't emphasizing the mechanism. I just don't think that's what
right. There was that line in the Igli Tal where he says that Yesh b'pas koach hachama, or something like that. That the koach hachama is in the pas. Something like that, or in the thing that you made.
You can
you can play with it.
I think what Rabbi was saying is right, that you'd say Maisa and Totsar, you'd say Gavra and Chavta. I don't know if that's...
Yes, I know. Is he into Gavra and Chavta? Like for us, you know, we think like everything's got to be Gavra and Chavta.
Everyone says Maisa and Totsar, that's like...
Right. Yeah, I hear.
The way Rebbe was terming the Tolus Chama, wouldn't it be that, you know, that it should be Tolus, it should be also because of Tolus or that pan, because either way, like Rebbe was saying, that either way it was heated, and it doesn't matter, the taste didn't change the effectiveness. Should it be the Raisa, like Tolus or, even though it was heated by the sun of the pan first? And
so...
this question on the Igli Tal, that it's a circular logic, where you have to go all around.
Right.
So wouldn't it imply that whole round circle, wouldn't that imply that it should be Dereisa Tolus Or, or no?
Meaning you're saying based on his own Hagdara, it should be Dereisa, not Rabban.
Yeah.
Meaning not just Merkut Rabban, better would be Nisid Dereisa.
Yeah.
So why is the Gemara only calling it Nisid Rabban? Yeah, you can say something like, meaning we have to, if I'm understanding that they talk correct, then that's therefore a kasha. Meaning if, let's say, not like Josh for a second, and then therefore my kasha is a kasha, the terrors would have to be that it can't be that Toltos Chama is more common than Chama.
Okay.
You know, you'd have to, on a Doraisa level, meaning that it's more common than Chama. Elamai, we can make Zeros all we want. Mm-hmm. You have to say something like that. But I hear that it's a din in the mechanism through which you're doing it.
He doesn't say it in the Igli Tal, but he says that when you're thinking about shinoi, so you have to think about those. When it comes to bishul, you have to think about those three things. It's a kibbi shinoi and a totsa, kibbi shinoi and a mechanism.
So the Igli Tal he's saying is ignoring the totsa, and
the totsa is all the same. That's the chiddush. That could be the chiddush of Rashi, meaning even though the totsa is the same, it's in derech bishul b'kach.
Right. I hear. I've seen a lot of contemporary Svarim quote the Igli Tal about the Totsa, but seeing it inside this morning, I'm not convinced that it's about the Totsa. So I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So according to what Rebbe's been saying, is it
a difference in the outcome, or is it an inferiority in the outcome? Meaning, is it, do I need it to just be different than how it would usually be, even if that's the same
also good
quality,
question.
Or is it inferior?
Yeah. Good question. Good question. I don't know. I would think any difference, because then it's not... I don't know. In a tshuva, the Avnei Nezer has, in print in the back of the Avnei Tal, a different mahalich. He says the reason Bishul B'chama is Ein Derech Bishul B'kach is because, and this is also a little bit difficult, I'm just thinking, it's because you're not really doing anything in the moment. You're just putting it out there, and then the sun takes a long, long time. So is it about time? Is that what you're saying?
Because of that, there's no Isser Derabana.
Yeah, but how does that make sense? Meaning it takes a while for fire to cook things also. I'm thinking that, I don't understand it. But I gotta take a look at that tshuva. It's in tshuva, what is it? Gimel Os something?
Chafbeis.
Okay. Okay, so these are the different Kedarim. So we have Ramesha, who says Derech Bishul means the normal way that you cook. Normally, cooking is the way they cooked in the Mishkan, and even if a specific form of cooking wasn't the way they cooked in the Mishkan, but it's the normal way to cook now, then it's going to be Aser. So Derech Bishul means the way most people would cook their food if that form of cooking was accessible to them. So cooking in the sun is totally abnormal. So then you have what Ramesha says about microwaves. And then you have the Eglei Tal, which now I'm not so convinced anymore that what I said is correct, but the Eglei Tal, who definitely is machalik between the Ose and the Na'ase. Question is, what does he mean by the Na'ase? Right, by the Ose, we know what he means, that if there's a shinoi in the way that you do it, you do it with your left hand, you do it with your elbow, you do something like that, that would knock something down to an Isser Derabanan, and that applies in Kalata Rukula. But when there's a shinoi in the Na'ase, then it's not even going to, because of Malachas Machsheves, it's going to be Heter Gamur. Right, that, and that's a Hilchos Shabbos principle in Melachos Machshavos, and it's head to garment. The question is, how do you touch up Na'ase? Right, is Na'ase considered? Is Na'ase the Totsah, the result, that it's an inferior or different? We have to figure that out too. Result, or is Na'ase not the result, but the mechanism through which the result is achieved? Now, where this comes up most commonly when we talk about Bishul B'chama is an actual case where we harness the sun in order to cook, and it's Maisim B'chol Yom. Every midday Shabbat B'Shabbato in Israel, if you want to turn on your hot water, there is what they call in Israel a Dud Shemesh. You familiar with Dud Shemesh? Before you take a shower, you got to turn on that, you know, hit that button on the wall that turns the thing red. No, and then wait 15 minutes or a half hour until it heats up the water. So is a Dud Shemesh Bishul Da'oraisa or not? Or Bishul at all? Forget about Bishul Da'oraisa. Maybe Bishul B'chama. If it's Bishul B'chama, it's Heter Gomor. And if it's Heter Gomor, then that would Chapa Yuzhnaf Kamina. We should all make Aliyah, because then we could turn on hot water to wash our dishes on Shabbos, because it wouldn't be a violation of Bishul. Is that true, first of all? So a few things. Is it Bishul B'chama? And even if it is Bishul B'chama, does that necessarily mean that we can just turn on our hot water to wash our dishes? So in the way it works is that there are solar panels on the rooftops, what they call the Dud Shemesh, and we'll give like a basic synopsis of how it works, although there are apparently different models that work in different ways. There is one type of Dud Shemesh where the boiler that actually holds the hot water is filled with cold water from the regular city's water supply, and then the water travels to the solar panels and is heated by the solar panels, and then re-enters the boiler after being heated, and the boiler just maintains the temperature. So it's heated by the solar panels, and then comes right into the boiler where it maintains the temperature. That is one model. A second model is, we'll call it model B, that model A and model B, that the boiler is filled with the city's water supply, but the water doesn't go to the solar panels. There are pipes set up inside the boiler that are connected to the solar panels. Now, those pipes are filled with like antifreeze or something that's heated by the solar panels. The heat that emanates from those pipes is what heats all the water in the boiler. Are we following me? Is there anyone? Is this clear?
No.
No? Not clear? Do we have No markers?
In the first case, it's still looks
real markers. Okay. What? You carry markers around?
He's assistant coach of the basketball team.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Wow. So let's imagine that, you know, that you have, you know, these solar panels, right? That's what solar panels look like. It's exactly that. And then here's your boiler, and it's got water in there. So there's a pipe that goes from the solar panels to the boiler. Again, this is not precise. But, you know, the water gets heated up here on the solar panels, and once it's hot, it will just travel right into the boiler and fill up the boiler. Right? That's the way it works. So the water will just come into the boiler and fill it up after it's been heated by the solar panels. Where's all the heating happening? All the heating is happening here. How's it happening? With solar panels. What does solar mean?
Sun,
right? Good. So the sun is heating up the water with the use of these glass panels, and then the hot water goes into the tank, which is very well insulated and keeps it nice and hot. And if it ever goes below the temperature, the water will go right back out into the solar panels to heat up again and to come right back into the tank. But all of the heating goes on the solar panels. That is model A. Clear?
Unbelievable.
Okay, I don't know when we're being facetious or not, but model B will go as follows. I'll draw it again. Okay, model B will go as follows. Here are your solar panels, right? That heat up whatever goes on them. Here's your boiler, and there are pipes that go from the solar panels into the boiler, like this. Now notice, there's no opening to these pipes. They go straight from the solar panel into the boiler, but whatever goes into the boiler is stuck. Right? There's all this water that's just, or antifreeze, that's just stuck in these pipes. So how does the water get hot? Because this water is so hot that it heats up the pipes, and those pipes heat up all the water that's in the boiler. So cold water comes into here, from somewhere else, from here, let's say. Cold water comes into here. How does that cold water get hot? Because there's antifreeze that's getting heated by the solar panels that's going into these pipes, and these pipes are heating up all the water that's in the boiler. Yeah, no?
Yeah.
Better?
What's antifreeze?
Antifreeze is like, it's just not normally when, it's a liquid that won't freeze. Like if you have the wiper fluid for your car, right? So why is it that when it's 12 degrees outside and everything is frozen and you hit the wiper fluid thing and it still shoots up fluid? It should all be frozen because it's antifreeze. They put some antifreeze in it so that it doesn't freeze. I mean, it lowers the freezing point of the maybe it hires the, I don't know why they would often use antifreeze, but that's just the materials. So anyway, those are the two models. Now, it might have a huge nafka mina lahalacha between these two models. If the boiler is model A, l'chora, you could use the water that was heated on Shabbos, because the water is being heated directly from the sun, right? This is being heated directly. What's this being heated from?
Pipes.
Told us, chama, the pipes.
But it's being heated by the panels, which are being heated by the sun. That's what
I'll call. Oh, okay. So there is an argument to be made. Oh, look at that! All right. I don't understand that, though. Okay. I think mine is better. I don't know if mine is the Metzius, but mine is clearer. So if it would seem, at least as a possibility, that if you consider solar panels to be not a toldos chama, but just harnessing the rays of the sun, and therefore chama itself, that in this case it's bishul b'chama, and in this case bishul b'toldos chama, which would be in Issur d'Rabbanan, right? L'chora, you could say such a thing. Now Rav Shlomo Zalman in Shulchan Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that d'yesh lachkor im amayim shehuchmu b'dud hamasudar liklot es karnei hashemesh. Meaning, he's bavorning this very inyan, right? What is it? What are solar panels? A solar panel is something that was heated by the sun and now heats the water, which would make it toldos chama, or is it no, that it harnesses the rays of the sun to heat the water, but it allows the rays of the sun to do the heating of the water. It's not the panels that are heating the water. So Rav Shlomo Zalman's sheet is that the heating of the water in Model A is considered Bishul B'chama, not the Toldos Chama, because glass solar panels harness the rays of the sun. They do not actually heat up the water itself. And therefore it would seem that you're allowed to use the Dud Shemesh on Shabbos. It would seem, yeah.
I mean, does the actual solar panel get hot?
If it gets hot, it's probably just from the water. Meaning it's a magnifier. I assume that's how it works, right? It's a magnifier.
Should I read what it says, how it works? It's not a magnifier.
Oh, what is
it? So it says, sunlight hits a solar panel and creates an electric field. It shows a generated force to the edge of the panel and to the conductive wire. The other wire brings electricity to the inverter, where it's transformed from the DC electricity to AC, and then used to power. So there's no way
that doesn't sound like it's a chama.
Is that a Dud Shemesh type of solar panel, or just in general that powers my house with electricity or whatnot?
I think it's solar panel.
Just physics
one. So these are different.
I think it's different.
Yeah.
Is it the big magnet glass?
Here, I have an article like this. Israeli solar energy companies such as Solel Solar, Aora, Ormat Technologies, and a host of others are now world leaders in the development of sun power to produce electricity. But Israel, a small country of 7 million with more than half its land area being desert, has been a solar energy pioneer virtually since its beginning in 1948. What is now fondly known to many Israelis as a Dud Shemesh, or a sun boiler, was invented by a guy named Levi Yisar back in the early 1950s, when electricity was very expensive due to a severe energy shortage. His innovation consisted of a modified electric water boiler that was erected on the roof of a building and attached by pipes to two simple glass-faced collector plates that heated water running through them from the boiler when the sun's rays struck them during certain hours of the day. The heated water then returned by gravity feed to the insulated boiler, where it was stored for later use in kitchens and bathrooms.
It's not really a solar panel.
I mean, that seems to be what I'm describing, no? What?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, so that's where I got that from. Yeah.
To be Madama Milsa, isn't it like when you take the magnifying glass, which like.
That's what I thought. What I thought it was. That's what I thought he was describing. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be able to magnir toldos versus the chama itself by if the temperature is decreased from natural rays, let's say, like if you measure how hot the sun is.
No, because it could be you're magnifying those rays, but it's still the rays that you're.
Wouldn't you think that like you know if it was like. Number B, like B, that's toldos chama because it's obviously less of a temperature than.
No, not because of temperature. It's not a function of temperature. It's a function of the fact that it's not actually being heated by the sun. It's being heated by whatever's in those pipes which was heated by the sun.
Wouldn't Moshe say that even Model A, that even if.
Oh, okay, right. Now we have to go tie this back into Rav Moshe and Ligley Tal. I mean, according to Rav Moshe, this is Bishul D'Oraisa. What are we even talking about? Right, this whole thing is all Bishul D'Oraisa, even though we're using the sun.
Yeah, can you say that even the example of the Gemara? The Gemara says.
Right. So can you say Bishul B'chama is Bishul D'Oraisa? Right. Can you say Chamei Tveri is Bishul D'Oraisa? Is that even like? Can you say something? Yeah. That's a good,
you can argue that this is still a less efficient way of heating up water, like for practical reasons.
Yeah. When a whole country only uses this, you know, it's like it's hard to.
30 to 60 minutes, though. I mean, it takes longer.
It does take time.
But it doesn't take longer because there's no other option. That's how they heat up the water for it.
If it would be just as cost effective to heat it up differently, then.
I hear. But I don't know.
Would this apply to cooking food, too? Like, let's say I had to do challenge number one and I put a steak under it.
L'chora. Now, in Tzitz Eliezer, you have to understand, the Achronim have like these long, long tshuvas about this with a lot of details. So we're just trying to like give like a basic synopsis over here, and we're running out of time. In Tzitz Eliezer, in Chelek Zayin Tzimin Yotes, Rav Waldenberg concludes that solar panels are considered Bishul B'chama and not Petol D'Sachama, And he says that even though the metal tubes where the water passes heat up, the main heat source that heats the water is the sun itself and not the the metal. It would be similar to a case of a pot on the fire. Right? When you cook with a pot on the fire, isn't the pot heating the food? Because it conducts heat, it's metal. No, it's fire that's heating the food. It's fire that's heating the pot and the food at the same time. So you don't say the pot's metal walls are heating the water and it's considered toldosar. The fire heats the water directly. It's considered the ore itself. So solar panel pipes that are in the sun, it's the sun that mainly heats the water. It's not the pipes. So what then would be Bishul b'toldosachema? So the Tzitz Eliezer says like this, that toldosachema is anything that retains its heat even after you remove it from the sun, even after it's no longer in the sun. The example, meaning if it's all simultaneous to the sun heating the, if the water is being heated by the panels as the panels are being heated by the sun, even if the panels are being heated by the sun, meaning even if the metzius is that way, that would still be Bishul b'chama. That's still not called toldos chama. The example the Gemara gives is sand. Why? Because sand retains heat for hours after the sun is already gone, after the sun sets. So according to Tzitz Eliezer, a person can use a solar panel to cook food on Shabbos by directing the sun's rays to a pot, which would cook the food, because that's considered Bishul b'chama, not Bishul b'toldos chama. And Rav Yitzchak Yosef and Yalkut Yosef passes like this, straight up, that you're allowed to cook using solar panels. So according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman and Tzitz Eliezer, using hot water from Dud Shemesh on Shabbos should be mutter. But there's a problem. Because what happens when you turn on the hot water? So yeah, no problem, I could cook the water this way. But what happens as soon as I gave back the marker. But as soon as as soon as I take water out, so water's going to come out, and as soon as water comes out, what happens next? New water comes in. Right? And yeah, eventually that water will cycle out to the solar panels and get hot and come back in. But by the time that water cycles out to the solar panels, it's already hot. Why is it already hot? Because the tank's hot. The rest of the water, I let out a drop of water to wash my dishes. The whole rest of the tank is still full of hot water. New water comes in, gets heated by the water that's in the tank. And if it gets heated by the water that's in the tank, then it's no longer Bishul b'chama. So at the moment the new cold water is entering the boiler, that cold water is heated by the hot water that's in the boiler. So the cold water is being cooked. They told us Achama. Told us Achama is Nisit Rabbana. Right? So it says the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa that if you turn off the inlet, the pipe that allows water in, then you can use the hot water on Shabbos. Most dud shemeshes, the hot water can only leave the dud when new cold water is introduced into the dud shemesh. It's a safety mechanism. Because apparently if it's functioning without water, it could break. So they'll only allow, there will be a safety mechanism that you can't get water out. If the inlet valve is closed, then the outlet valve is closed also. They're connected to each other. So if you close the pipe that leads cold water into the dud shemesh, you won't be able to extract hot water either. However, even if you installed some sort of pump that gets the hot water from your dud shemesh without funneling cold water into the dud shemesh, you still have to be careful not to open the faucet with cold and hot water at the same time. Right? Because then you're pulling in cold water from just the regular city supply of cold water together with your hot water and you're heating up that water. So that's a problem. Yalkut Yosef is makel anyway, because he holds that the pipe that leads the hot water from the shemesh to the faucet is a klisheni. And Mela, so when you turn on the hot water that's from your faucet, it's already klisheni, so the cold water that's mixing with it is not going to be mavushal, it's only klisheni. But he says, tov lahachma. But like, migra din, he thinks he could be mekel. Shmir Shabbos goes on to say that even in a case where it's mutter to heat up water using the shemesh, in the winter you can't use water from the shemesh. Why? Because on a cloudy winter day, you can heat up the water in the dud shemesh using the electrical heating element of the boiler, and we're worried that if the cold water pipe is open, the cold water entering will be heated in the hot waters that are in the boiler. Heating cold water from water that was heated using an electrical element that's in the boiler is asmidaraisa. Essentially what he's saying is, it's not this simple. There's also a coil in here. And if there's also a coil in here to maintain the heat, so sometimes that coil will actually heat things up instead of just maintaining the heat. So then, once there's a coil, that's bishul be'or, that's using actual fire. Rasi Pesach Frank, again, these are very, very brief summaries. Rasi Pesach Frank in Hartzvi and Sicily Ezev are makel to use hot water from the Shemesh, even if by doing so cold water is going to enter the boiler and be heated by the hot water in the Dud. Because the heating of the water entering the boiler is a psik ratio of Nisa Drabana. Why? You're opening the sink, which is mutter, but inevitably when you open the sink, cold water is going to go into the boiler. That's a psik ratio. The cold water is only going to be heated by Toldos HaChamah, that's a Drabana. So it's a psik ratio and a Drabana. Because even though it's being heated by the water that's in the boiler, that's to be heated by the water in the boiler, that's Toldos HaChamah, so that's only Drabana. I psik ratio and a Drabana, and we generally hold as Aser. But over here, the water is coming through a grumma also. I open the faucet, so I'm opening this faucet, and because water is coming out, that's activating another mechanism that opens a pipe that lets water in. So it's a psikreshe on a drabanan al yede grumma. Plus, yeah, which makes a psikreshe with a trade drabanan. The Hartzvi says that even without a trade rabbanon, we could be mekel, because a psikresha de grama is maybe mutter anyway. In Oz Nidburu, Rav Binyamin Zilber, Binyamin Atzadik, argues with all of this. He says water heated in the Dud Shemesh is toldos hachama and is not considered chama mamish. Rav El Yashiv is quoted in Sefer Ashrei Ho'ish to agree with that, and he says that if the solar panels weren't there, the water wouldn't heat up. Obviously, this water is being heated by the metal copper panels and not by the sun itself. And the Aznid Bru says that most of our boilers have an electric option. So then, of course, you need to aser to chemish, because you can come to use when the water was heated by the actual boiler, and that's, we have to make such a gzera. If you're going to come to switch toldos hachama with toldos ha'or, so you're going to come to switch the electric boiler with the, it's not even making our own gzera, it's the same gzera. We're not allowed to make our own gzeras. I'm telling you not to use toldos hachama, I'm telling you not to use this version of toldos hachama, because it could be switched with toldos ha'or, it could be confused with toldos ha'or. It's the exact same gzera the Gemara made. It seems that in Eretz Yisrael, a lot of poskim assume, like the Shmir Shabbos, that it's totally himana, better not to, but not that it's actually asur mikra adin. So b'shas hatzarech, when it comes to a sick person, children, elderly, there's much more room to be mekel in Eretz Yisrael than there is in America, because when we our boilers cook with fire, so they have actual coils. Some of them have an actual fire. There's a pilot light with gas that actually heats up a fire. So our boilers is Eish Mamish. So that's Or Mamish, that's for sure going to be in a Siddur Reisa. Rabbi Ribiat, alright, we'll have to take a look at Rabbi Ribiat, volume 2, page 641. I do want to move on though, so alright, yeah, Baruch Hashem, we'll move on to another sugi. You don't have to do all the details of what I told you. Alright, have a great day everyone.
Is
that the boiler itself is the cliche? Yeah.
I know it's connected directly to the
No. I'm sorry, not that the boiler is a cliche. The pipes that bring it from the boiler to your house, to the faucet. That's